Hi, this is Gail Gower with Rhyme the Word. Hi, this is Gail Gower with Rhyme the Word. Thank you for joining us this evening. I'd like to pray over us and then get started with the teaching that I feel like the Lord has given to me. Father God, we just thank you for this day. Lord, just thank you for reaching down and ministering to us, for helping us with our lives, Lord, for your Son Jesus that came, died on the cross for us to bring us salvation. Father, we thank you for all you've done for us, Lord, for encouraging us, for helping us with life, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I have to tell you that I am just so excited about what I feel like the Lord has given to me. So have you ever been part of something that you knew where God used you? Maybe it was to be there for someone or just have a word for someone or some encouragement. Well, that's kind of what this study did for me. I had recently heard a teaching on the Beatitudes found in Matthew 5. So I had my Bible open there for days at that point because I wanted to keep reading over those Beatitudes. But each time that I read in chapter 5, my eyes would wander up to chapter 4 because there were some scriptures in there that really caught my attention. So one evening I sat down and I actually wanted to study about Abraham. But before I even got to study about Abraham, my mind and my eyes went back to Matthew 4 in these verses, and this is what I ended up with. So I have been reading these verses and thinking about how life changes. And some of the changes are gradual, such as aging, and some of the changes are immediate. But like sudden death, or when you become a Christian, it's an immediate change. But also, I wanted to think about what God has done for us through these changes. Well, let's look at the scriptures in Matthew 4, verses 23 through 25. It says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread over Syria, and the people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. So this scripture stayed with me for several days because I thought about those people and who they might have been and how this affected their lives and their families, husbands, wives, children, mothers, fathers, grandparents, and what it must have been like for those suffering severe pain to be brought to Jesus. The trip along the way would have caused them additional pain, not even considering the suffering and pain already. Or what would it have been like in that day and time to make that trip? Traveling as best that you can, walking, being carried in a wagon or cart or on a horse or donkey. None of that would have been easy. But what about the return trip? This is what got me. What about the return trip? I think what a celebration those people would have been having to have encountered Jesus and he healed them. What would their conversation be like? You know, I really hope I get to hear their testimony whenever I get to heaven, because I think that that's just going to be awesome. So think about the change that Jesus made in their lives. Instantly, their lives would be back to normal or be a new normal for them. Let's look at the scriptures again of all who Jesus touched, healing every disease and sickness among the people in verse 23. All who were ill with various diseases and those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, he healed them, as per verse 24. Consider all these people for just a few minutes. What the crowd must have been like, friends and family, watching over the people who were sick. Some would have been moaning in pain, some having seizures. Some of them would have been paralyzed, as well as those that were demon-possessed. my mind goes back to a scene from the movie Gone with the Wind, when Scarlett is walking through an area of wounded soldiers. I think it's by a train station. I don't really remember, but some are moaning, some are screaming out in pain, some are calling out, some are reaching out to her, asking for help, and she's just overwhelmed with the needs of the people and with her own situation as well. And the camera pans out, and you just see this huge amount of people all laid out needing help. If you're not familiar with the movie, maybe you can just get some visual image in your mind of hundreds or maybe thousands of people gathered needing help, and those helping the ones that were needing the help. Then think of Jesus walking through that crowd. And as he walks through the crowd, people are instantly healed. My mind goes to the celebration that breaks out behind him as the people realize they are healed. They break out in celebration along with their friends and the family, laughter, hugging, tears of joy, jumping up and down, shouts of praise and worship, prayers of thankfulness are offered to God, with some people falling on their face in just awestruck worship of God. We all have to think about what their life would have been like before modern medicine to even have some type of understanding of what their life would have been like being so hopeless. And then after they received their healing, they would have had wild, exuberant celebration. And I was trying to think of words to describe their celebration, and exuberant was the word that I came up with. And so I looked up the word, the meaning of the word, in the Webster's New World Basic Dictionary of American English. And it says, healthy and lively, full of good humor. What a good word to use for the return trip, exuberant. They were healthy and lively, full of good humor. I don't think there would have been one person there that would have said to their friends and family, I wish you had not have taken me to see Jesus. I really miss the severe pain, or I miss being paralyzed, or I miss being sick. They would have all just been in exuberant celebration. Have you ever been to a stadium, like a professional game or concert or something like that, where the crowd starts doing the waves when they throw their hands up all together, and it just kind of goes around the stadium when they all raise their hands at the same time, and then the next group? Well, think about what it would have been like with Jesus going through and healing. The people would have been throwing their hands up in the, like possibly doing the wave, so to speak, but behind that would have just been wild celebration as the people realized that they were healed. And think about what a loud congregation, think of the happiness, the joy, that excitement that came behind him as healing touched the lives of people. I love to just think on that scene in my imagination. It's kind of like how laughter is contagious, well, allowing my mind to wonder what it must have been like, and just thinking on those people that were healed just brings a smile to my face. I think about what they might have been suffering with before, and then with the outrageous celebration they had when they received their healing. Don't you think they were loud? Celebrating with laughter, tears of happiness, talking to each other about what happened. And those who were paralyzed were now walking, running, jumping with joy, shouting and laughing at the same time. The mute now talking, possibly speaking for the first time in their lives, hearing their own laughter, hearing their own voice. A parent maybe hearing a child speaking for the first time ever, laughing and hugging that child so tight the child begins to worry if they'll ever catch their next breath to be able to talk some more. And as the wave goes around through the crowd at a stadium and it circles around a couple of times before the people lose interest, but it would only go around once, because with Jesus, with the celebration and the healing, it would just be just wild celebration through the whole thing. So let me give you a little bit of background on my rhyme. I based this rhyme kind of on my mother-in-law, because she had fallen many years ago and injured her back. And from the time she fell, she basically spent the rest of her life in a chair. She went through numerous surgeries, pain doctors, every kind of doctor that you can imagine that might help her. She even had like a morphine pump put into her back to drip morphine into her spine. But her life was basically from that time just in pain, just in horrible pain. She did not get much relief. And so I kind of based that on her. But let's look at another person. In Acts 14, there was a man in Lystra. There sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking, and Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. Don't you know he was just like stomping, jumping up and down, just excited to just have his steps for the first time? Because it says he was a man. He would have been a grown man taking his very first steps. So let me read you my rhyme, and then we'll look at some other things. I named the rhyme, "One Day Life Changed." And this rhyme is from the viewpoint of a man, the head of a household, who has had an injury in his life. I woke up this morning to another lonely and pain-filled day, but my family wanted to take me to see Jesus, and I had said okay. For years, I laid in my bed in agony and pain, so I had nothing to lose and everything to gain. It was going to be hard on me to make that long trip. The agony of movement was something I wanted to skip. The news of the miracles Jesus did had spread far and wide. Now I would make the journey with my family at my side. Those once paralyzed were walking, and the news of them spread. Thinking of them was encouragement. It was the pain I would dread. It was hot, dusty, and bumpy as we traveled on the road, and those who were carrying me had to bear an extra load. But there was excitement as they began the long walk. The stories about Jesus was the main subject of their talk. When they began to carry me, my face was in the usual frown, as I dealt with constant pain since the day I had fallen down. I thought about that day and the injury to my back, and then about my family and the things they would lack. As head of the household, I could no longer provide. I was not able to work, no matter how hard I tried. My wife and the kids did everything they could. They tried to ease my pain, but nothing ever would. So my mind began to wander to Jesus and the miracles he did. I began to get really excited, like getting a gift as a kid. Excuse me. Could we get close enough that we could see or be able to get near Jesus so he could touch me? The crowd was growing bigger. We must be getting near. I was straining as we got closer. I wanted so much to hear. Then all of a sudden, there was Jesus right in front of my face. My breath caught in my throat, and my heart began to race. He lovingly reached down and placed his hands upon me. I knew at once the pain was gone, and I had been set free. I could not contain myself. I jumped up and began to shout. Jesus had changed my life, and there was certainly no doubt. Now I want everyone to know just what Jesus can do, because if he did it for me, he will do the same for you. I was just awestruck when God gave that to me. You know, I never did get to the study on Abraham. I was just reading over that and thinking about those people, all the different people that were brought to Jesus that day, and what their life would have been like before and what it would have been like after encountering Jesus. And also, I'd like to look at another way that one day life changed. And I'd like to look at Paul. And his story is found in Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And at this time, his name was Saul. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked them for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there that belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed down around him. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They had heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days, he was blind and did not eat anything. Then in chapter 9, verse 20, it tells us, Saul had spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. And all those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't this the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who called on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners, as chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. So this was another experience of one day life changed, where Saul had been persecuting Christians, and then he encountered Jesus, and his life changed, and he went from the murderous threats and arresting the Christians to becoming a Christian himself, and went about preaching and telling his testimony from that time. So if you're a believer in Jesus, you've had a one-day life-changed experience. And I remember the day that I accepted Christ. I don't remember the actual date, but I still remember what it was like. I remember as a young girl sitting on the pew and getting the courage to walk down the aisle. I remember the happiness and the excitement I felt. I also remember looking out of the church when I was getting baptized and what that was like, seeing that congregation. Now, remember that whenever you become a Christian, that is a one-day life changed, but becoming more Christ-like, it's a gradual process, and it's been a process in my life. For years, as a teenager, I walked away from my faith, as I did in my 20s. And I can tell you, if I could have a do-over in my life, it would be those years. So I want to encourage you, if you've walked away, turn back. Run back to Jesus. If your Christian walk is just a Sunday morning thing, then make it an everyday thing. I have regrets in my life, but following Jesus has never been one of them. Just the opposite. Following Jesus has been the greatest thing in my life. It has been a process, and there have been more one-day experiences for me along the way. So like I said, some of the changes are gradual, and some of the changes are immediate. When you become a Christian and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, that is an immediate change. But the process of being Christ-like is a daily ongoing thing. Craig Rochelle says in his book, Alter Ego, "Although God transformed me spiritually in a moment, it has taken me years to grasp who I am as a child of God, and it's an ongoing process." And it's the same way for all of us. It is an ongoing process. One of the other one-day life-changed experiences I had was when I first attended Beth Moore's Monday Night Women's Bible Study. Excuse me. I actually got the courage to attend the Bible study for the first time because I followed Carnita to the church. She knew where it was and how to get there, and it was in the area of Houston that I did not know, so we attended together. And if you can imagine the 5 o'clock traffic, I was following her in her car. So that was an experience in itself. But I was able to finish the or make it to the church and start the Bible study. I purchased a workbook, and I began to seek God on a daily basis. And up until that time in my life, I attended church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I listened to different preachers and teachers on CDs, such as my pastor, Dwayne Sheriff. He gives away all his CDs for free. You can go to dsheriff.org and order the CDs. I listened to his teaching even while I was in Houston, as well as attending church at Livingstone's Church in Alvin for the first, I think, 5 years, and then at Lakewood Church under Joel Osteen for 7 years. Listening to the preachers and teachers brought a different level of relationship with God, but I know it was hearing from God and the personal Bible study that really made an impact. So after the Beth Moore's Bible study was finished, I had such a hunger for the Word that I began to start reading, researching, and studying for myself. I was so touched by what I saw in Beth and heard her say that I wanted that for myself. I started buying commentaries and research books, which helped me to understand and gave me a different way of thinking about what I read and learning about what life was like during the time of the Bible and what those people faced every day. Finally, understanding, you know, that I am like those people in the Bible. Although I don't feel I can put myself on the same level as the great people of faith like Abraham, Moses, and David, but they were actually just ordinary people who followed an extraordinary God. But I relate more to the unnamed people who were touched by Jesus. Their lives changed as my life has changed, always for the better, not always easy, because Christians still go through some hard stuff. But knowing Jesus is with me and the Holy Spirit is guiding me has made my life different. And I thought about our dog, Portia. She is a rescue dog. She was part of a court-ordered rescue. We don't have any idea of what her life was like before we adopted her. But the day I went to see her for the first time, she did not want to have anything to do with anybody other than the lady who was taking care of her. She was not mean or aggressive. She just didn't want anybody to come near her. She must have been through some trauma, and she just wanted to get away. And then when the lady handed her to me and I brought her home, she instantly bonded with me because she was looking for a friend. She was reaching out. And one day after we had had her for a little while, she ran out the front door. And I thought she was lost for sure. In our area where we live, each person has over an acre yard. And there's a huge pond that's across the street behind the houses behind us. And Portia ran across the road into our neighbor's house with her tail down, just afraid. She ran to that house and then left and ran to the house next door. Then she came back across the road to our neighbor's house. And I was just calling her the whole way to come back. And then she ran back into our yard. And I finally, she stopped and turned around and came back to me. And it has taken her over a year to get to the point where we can now take her to the park and walk her, because she now has enough courage to face people, because she just did not want to be around people. So it's been a gradual change for her, but she has come around so much. And I just think about what it's like for those people to go through their healing, to come back to their life, to begin their new life, like for the man who'd never walked, to begin his new life of what it was like to walk then, or even for those that had been injured before to now be back able to work, to as the man in my rhyme, now he could provide for his family. What just an awesome thing that is. So I just want to encourage you that if you do not know Jesus, that he wants to meet you. He wants to change your life. It will be an instant change when you accept Jesus into your heart. It will be a gradual change as you become more Christ-like. It will be an experience that is just amazing. Just, I can't begin to tell you how amazing Christ has been in my life. I urge you to get in a Bible reading program, maybe a Bible study, certainly get in a Bible-based church. And let me read a prayer with you that I wrote. And, of course, I will just have to tell you that, yes, it is in a rhyme. But it is a prayer that for you can ask Jesus into your heart. It says, if you want to ask Jesus to live in your heart, then praying this prayer is where you can start. Because you died for my sins, I know how much you care. So, Jesus, I ask you to be my Lord through this simple prayer. You came from heaven to earth for all men to see. You paid the price for our sins, and that includes me. I believe you are my Savior, my God, and my King. I want all you have to offer and all your word can bring. I know through myself there's not enough I can do. The payment for my sins had to be made by you. I will say you are Lord before all men and that you hung on the cross to pay for our sin. I thank you, Lord, for all you have done. The enemy is defeated, and through Jesus we won. This is the plan God made before time began. Salvation through Jesus and eternal life. Amen. I thank you for joining me. I hope you have enjoyed this teaching. It has been just a blessing in my life. I hope that I have conveyed in some way what joy and excitement Jesus will bring into your life. And I want to leave you with some scripture out of, this is the NIV version of John 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Thank you very much for joining me. Let me pray. Father God, we just thank you for all you have done for us, Lord, for sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. Father, you loved us so much. And we just thank you, God. Lord, I just personally say thank you for the rhymes that you give me that bring insight on what these people might have gone through, what their lives might have been like before, and what their lives were like after encountering Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that you have given this gift to me and a way that I am able to share this with people. Father, we just ask for blessings and favor. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you. Thank you all for joining me, and we will talk with you again. Goodbye.